It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and eating a vegetarian diet, it's something that's a lot of people are advised to do that's healthy, but is it healthy for the environment? Could it contribute to climate change? Well, there's new research from Carnegie Mellon University that says it very well could. We're joined by phone from the East End of Pittsburgh by CMU professor Paul Fischbeck. Paul, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Well, good afternoon.
And also with us is Michelle Tom. She's a PhD student in civil and environmental engineering, joining us to discuss this matter. Michelle Tom, good to have you with us.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having us on the show.
How did you end up embarking on this particular research, which has led to a conclusion that I'm sure is alarming to a great many people?
Well, I wouldn't say alarming, but certainly surprising. This all started with our investigation of the obesity problem in the United States and how, you know, being overweight leads to greater energy usage in transporting people around and so on. And that was our first study, just looking at the impact of being overweight on energy. And then we started looking more into details about the diet that people eat and what are the greenhouse gas and water and energy needs to meet those diets. And that's where we had the biggest surprise.
So, Michelle, how did you go about creating ways to come up with this data?
Well, we essentially conducted a meta-analysis of basically collecting a number of life cycle assessment studies for as many food products as possible. And that's how we started this project.
So explain then, either one of you, or both, explain if you would, what it is that a vegetarian would eat that is harmful or potentially harmful to the environment, how a non-meat diet, at the very least, would contribute to climate change.
Well, if you look at the entire production of a food from the farm to the fork is what the expression is, you know, there are various energy needs to move the food, to refrigerate the food, to prepare the food, you know, to get it to the grocery store and so on. And if you sort of sum up sort of that entire chain, come up with calculations as to how much greenhouse gases are emitted during that process. And there are some vegetables and some fruits that are high on greenhouse gas emissions, things like lettuce and cucumbers and celery tend to be very high on greenhouse gas emissions. But then when you look at water usage, a lot of the fruits like cherries and mangoes and cucumbers need lots of water to, in fact, get the fruit to your table and so on, to grow it and get it to your table.
Okay, well, I get that, but how could that be worse in terms of its environmental impact than cows, which of course emit a lot of methane, let's face it, and they're out there in the field and they have to be fed, right? And then they have to be they're taken to slaughter, and then that meat is processed at a plant, and then you're eating the meat, and that you're telling me that has less impact on the environment than lettuce does.
We got to be careful. Once again, no generalizations here. So there's beef, and then there's pork, and then there's chicken, and they're very, very different on their footprints.
Okay. So you're saying then it must be pork is less impactful, because there's a quote from you which I'm sure I'm sure bacon eaters around the world are rejoicing about. You say eating lettuce is over three times worse in greenhouse gas emissions than eating bacon.
Yeah, and beef and lettuce are about the same. They're essentially equivalent. And so it turns out that beef is, you know, pretty has a big impact on the environment, but chicken and pork have much less.
So those of us who eat bacon are saying, you know, it's not because we like it. We're just trying to help the environment.
You got to do your share.
What if you eat a BLT? Do you need to take the lettuce out of the BLT?
And the tomatoes.
And the tomatoes as well. So, Michelle, how surprised were you at this information that your research yielded?
I was actually very surprised going into it. I expected you know, all of the energy use, the water use, and the greenhouse gas emissions to all increase if we were to switch from our current diet to the USDA recommended diet. I just didn't know by how much. And then it turned out that all of these impacts decreased, which was the complete opposite of what I initially expected. So I was very surprised.
This is a somewhat personal question, but are either of you vegetarians?
Not me. No,
I am not.
Bacon.
Does this make you happy?
No, it was really surprising.
No?
If you look at what people typically think, you know, there's no question that, the underlying beliefs of the American population and, you know, that you hear all the time is that, you know, more vegetarian is definitely better. And that is certainly not the case.
So, Michelle, what will be done with this information? What will it be used for?
Right. Well, I think that it's important for policymakers, for example, to, you know, be aware of the environmental implications of different food products so that they can, you know, develop dietary guidelines in the future that take into account environmental sustainability in addition to, you know, what's good for one's health.
So bacon it is, and you're not telling people not to eat vegetables, but maybe less of them, or at least go ahead.
Right, or eat different maybe types of vegetables, perhaps.
Yeah, so things like onions, radishes, cauliflower, carrots, broccoli, those are good things. Cabbage, those tend to be
correct.
Much lower than bacon when it comes to impact.
Right.
Okay, so bacon eaters aren't totally off the hook. We are out of time, but I want to thank both of you for sharing the information from this study with us. We've been talking with CMU Professor Paul Fischbeck and Michelle Tom. She's a PhD student in civil and environmental engineering. Thank you both for being with us today. We appreciate it.
Our pleasure.
Thank you
for listening to Essential Pittsburgh. Tomorrow, Governor Wolf, who was scheduled to be on today, will definitely be on at the start of our program tomorrow to talk about the budget situation, among other things. Until then, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.